2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? Well, you could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run big appliances like your fridge even longer. And best of all, the new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans already trust Patriot Power Generators. So go to four, patriots.com/Ben to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. So right now, go to fourpatriots.com/Ben. That's the number fourpatriots.com/Ben.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
All right, I want to talk about what has happened with social media over the last couple of weeks. As you know, the left has gone insane with Elon Musk buying Twitter. Now we know that we have a government agency, the Minister of Disinformation, who's going to apparently fact check you and what you say. I wish I was kidding, but I'm not. The same Democrats that did not want to rein in big tech in any capacity. And the reason why was clear, because they knew the game was rigged. They had people that disguised themselves as fact checkers who are able to silence big news stories and are able to silence people when they don't like what they're saying. We saw this with a Hunter Biden story that happened. Well, now, because they don't control the Twitter anymore, they're demanding that your tax dollars be used to silence you and different people who say things online with a Ministry of Disinformation. So what does this actually mean for big tech? Quick reminder, if you're listening to this podcast, please make sure you hit the subscribe or auto download button. Share our podcast with your family and friends as well. And please write us a 5-star review. I want to bring on a good friend of mine, Jason Miller, who is the CEO of Getter. It's a social media app that I use where there's actual real free speech. You can follow me, Ben Ferguson Podcast, on there. Jason, I appreciate you coming on. And look, I think it's great that Elon Musk bought Twitter. The reason why I say that is because it is going to send a message to the left that if you ruin and silence people, at some point, hopefully, a person with the means to take it over will be able to do it. Now, do I think it fixes everything? No. I'm also glad that there are platforms like Getter that you and others have started, because we need competition and we need to not just have one Facebook or one Twitter. But when you see what Elon Musk did, and really the response from this administration that says, all right, we're going to get our own fact checkers back since they're no longer in the company, we'll do it through the government, that has to scare the hell out of you for freedom of speech. Am I right?
Well, absolutely, and especially take a look at the hottest issue over the last couple of days with this leaked ruling or this draft opinion with regard to the Supreme Court in abortion. And you just it doesn't take that big of a George Orwell or 1984 fan to take the next logical leap and say, who's to say that the people currently running Twitter or the people currently running these other big tech platforms might not go and shut down some of the free speech or try to lock down some of the debate here, that we won't see the Ministry of Disinformation, which, as you said, it can't really be true, except that it is true. That is why it's so critical that we have alternative free speech platforms so that one group or one ideology can't shut down the entire debate.
Let's talk about who was appointed here. And a lot of people, I think, don't realize just how radical, I would even say psychotic, the individual who was chosen by the Biden administration to be the Minister of Disinformation actually is. Number one, she actually said that the Hunter Biden story was Russian disinformation, said it wasn't true. So if she was in charge of the government at that point, she also would have clearly banned that story. But this is a radical leftist. This is not an unbiased individual. And even if I bought in for a second that we needed this position, which I don't, the person they chose has a very, 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 very clear intentions of just silencing conservatives, the same way that they did it at Twitter when they didn't like something that any one of us was saying.
So you're exactly right. So I wanted to kind of go right to the source and see what Nina Jankowicz, this incoming minister of disinformation, had said. I didn't want to take it for what I was getting secondhand or what any of my conservative friends were saying. So I was like, all right, let's go to sweet Nina's Twitter feed. Okay, so Nina Jankowicz. So I pull it up, and the very first thing I see is her name, Nina Jankowicz, and right afterwards is a Ukraine flag and then the U.S. flag. So right there, she's virtue signaling that already we're she stands on any aspect of NATO expansion, the EU, globalism. Obviously, that confirms the earlier comments about Russia being behind Trump's win in 2016. You can just tell it's a whole bag of squirrels with that. Then I look at her Twitter header on her timeline, and literally it's a push for her book called How to Be a Woman Online. So right there, okay, she's a feminazi. We know exactly where sweet Nina is coming from. And her pinned tweet, and again, this is even before going to her wiki page or going to any articles or anything else, her pinned tweet on her timeline says, it's a quote from her book, men burst violently into your mentions and your life like the Kool-Aid man, demanding your attention, hawking opinions that they believe are inarguably, manifestly correct and indispensable. So great. So it's all about identity politics. It's all about feminism. It's all about a radical left of center ideology. She's going to be the minister of disinformation. I would hold up her book, How to Be a Woman Online, which, first of all, I think there are a lot of women who'd probably say she doesn't speak for me. I'd hold up her book as example numero uno of disinformation.
You know, one of the other interesting things about her, and a lot of people I don't think realize this, and who she is she's an individual that has attacked free speech quite a few times and has basically given a litany of things she believes should be banned. The White House says that she has a resume that is above reproach. It's an activist resume, but it's not a resume on free speech. She doesn't have any type of degree that would deal with free speech or the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or anything else. This is nothing but a partisan hack who has decided that she should decide what you can and cannot say online. And your tax dollars are paying for this.
You know, that's a really smart observation, because I think even the fact that they're having this one point person, this one czar, which, by the way, the name there is perfect, this one czar of misinformation, and they're going to go have someone who's so radically pointed and radically biased. You know, it kind of reminds me of when they took Van Jones and put him in as the green energy guy back in the early days of the Obama administration. And people were just scratching their head like, what the heck are you doing? I mean, this you can't write a script that's this good. I mean, they're going to take Nina Jankowicz, this radical feminist Ukraine file pro-globalist author and pundit to go and be in charge of disinformation. I mean, the story writes itself.
Well, let's talk about Getter for a second. You obviously created Getter when Twitter was controlled by the extreme left. We've seen them break down. We've seen them cry. We've seen them have to change their source code so that rogue liberal employees inside of Twitter won't actually change things on the platform in protests. The same type of rogue people that we now see are on the left working at the Supreme Court. It's a great comparison here about how radical the left has come. There's nothing that they will not do to silence conservatives or attack conservatives or put even conservative lives at risk. But you look at Twitter, Elon Musk buys it. I think it's a step in the right direction. But we also know that if he doesn't come in and fundamentally change Twitter and the employees, then I'm not sure how much will really change. 99% of all donations from Twitter employees went to Democratic candidates. I mean, these are full-blown communists over there. Are you hopeful that he will be able to flip things around and actually change it back to what he's, you know, what others have said they're hoping it can do? Or do you say, look, this thing is so far gone right now. How do you change a company unless you fire virtually everyone?
So I think your latter point is probably the most salient one, because everyone who supports free speech should be rooting for Elon Musk to succeed. I want him to succeed, even if it means that Twitter ends up remaining the dominant player in the market. If it's able to fundamentally change this censorious climate that we have right now, where big tech social media oligarchs are picking winners and losers in the free speech game, that is something that we have to change. Here's the reality. Is that the culture is what's broken at Twitter, not the technology. Technology is good, although not necessarily the biggest fan of the most recent upgrade, but putting that aside, no one has ever quit Twitter and said, you know what, if they could just improve their tech, then we'd stick around. The reason why they're shedding so many existing followers is because it's becoming an ideologically based free speech platform where if you agree with their ideology, you get free speech. If you don't agree, then you don't get it. So here's the problem with Musk is his forte has always been as an innovator, a creator, whether it's the Boring Company or SpaceX or Tesla, and coming up with these new technological ideas, but that's not the fundamental problem they're facing. I think what Musk is going to find out is it's easier to land a rocket on Mars than it is to change that rotten culture inside Twitter. He would literally need to go through and fire everybody and start all over with people. I mean, they're already been having put blockers in place to make sure the existing engineers and coders don't go and sabotage it because they're worried about what they might do internally before they allow Musk to take over.
What should Elon Musk expose about the inner workings of Twitter? You and I both worked at CNN. We also know that when Media Matters came out with a kill list, as I describe it, of every Republican they wanted to get fired from CNN, about 14 months later, everybody on the list but one still remained, or got fired, I should say. Only one remained. We know that CNN worked internally on that list, I think, with people that hated us, with Media Matters to target us. We also saw that when Media Matters came after us, big tech started silencing us on social media. If there are emails that show that there are connections between big tech and people in the media and Media Matters saying, hey, we don't like this guy, silence him. Hey, we want to attack Rick Santorum, silence him. Hey, we want to attack Ben Ferguson, silence him. And there's these hit lists and they were all working together. Should he expose that information for everyone to see how Twitter was being run? And is that part of what he should do if he's a good owner when it comes to basically saying, here's the curtain, we're pulling it back. Here's what this was happening here before I bought it.
I think we know for a fact that that was all happening. I think the more important point is for him to say, here's how the algorithm has been operating. Here's how it's going to look now. And there's a reason, not just the fact that Musk was making noise about coming that are taking over Twitter, why so many conservatives were gaining followers and liberals were losing followers over the last couple of weeks. And I think that's because they've started tinkering with the algorithm already. So when he does take over, then it doesn't look so terrible for them. So they're not completely exposed. But being able to say, here's what the algorithm was doing, here's what the algorithm is doing now. So it's clear they've gotten rid of shadow banning. They've gotten rid of any of the censor-like dynamics that were in in place there, especially with regard to moderation. That's what I think the key is of what he needs to come forward and say. Otherwise, how do people know that anything's actually changed with Twitter?
Yeah. How would you know? Let's talk about foreign leaders. We know that Twitter has different rules depending on where they are in the world. We know that they play a different way in places, for example, in the past, like Russia and China. They banned Donald Trump from the platform, for example, but they allow the Ayatollah to have a Twitter account. They allow for Putin to have a Twitter account. They allow for ISIS and Al-Qaeda members to have a Twitter account. Do you think that Elon Musk should ban leaders like the Ayatollah or ISIS or Vladimir Putin? Or do you think they should say, you know what, the world deserves to hear what they say directly from them instead of indirectly through media accounts and news? What is your thoughts on that as a guy who literally is the CEO of a platform like Getter?
So the only people who we proactively block as far as individuals who have accounts in other platforms are terrorists. If we know that somebody is a terrorist or if they're funding terrorist activities, then they're blocked from coming on board. We do currently have a block for the entire country of Russia as well as Belarus, but the reason there is not on the information or misinformation front, it's because the Russians had been attempting to hit us with so many bots that every time we would go and shut down an IP address, they just pop up in another one. And so we've gone and said, until we can figure out how to block out the bot efforts from the bot farms in Russia, that we're going to have that shut down and so we can just allow normal, regular people to come on board. I do think that if people are democratically elected, then of course they should be able to have their voice. And it always gets me nervous when you have different standards for different countries. But if someone's a terrorist, then I know our position from Getter is they're not allowed on the platform.
Let's move ahead to the elections, the midterms coming up. And what role do you think social media is going to play this time around? I do think we're seeing a big correction with the silencing of stories. I don't think it's going to be as easy to do that, like the Hunter Biden story, for example, come the midterms. We obviously know what the Democrats' game plan is moving forward into the midterms. That's pretty, I think, darn obvious. And that is that they are going to try to use packing the court and Roe v. Wade as a get out the vote strategy. Whether that's going to work or not, we'll see. But what role do you think social media is going to play? You've got yours at Getter. The president says he's not coming back to Twitter. He's going to stay on his Truth Social. There's more options now. I love competition. I think it's great. But is it going to play as big of a role this time around as it did in the past?
I think it's going to be even more important because if we've seen just the last couple of days here, every newscast, the opening of it, the first couple of blocks are all about the Roe v. Wade battle, about what the Supreme Court is going to do. It, literally, you would think that over this past 48 hours or so, you would think that COVID had been cured, that the conflict in Ukraine had gone away, that there's no more global warming, sea levels are not rising anymore. It's all been taken care of. The only issue is purely on Roe v. Wade. And the media is going to do everything they can to keep that the dominant issue all the way through the election, and not just keep it the issue, because there are many people who are very passionate about trying to overturn that, whether they're a states' rights person or they're firmly pro-life. But the media is going to want to have their perspective and their bias on that. So the media is going to try to create essentially the composite. Here's who the pro-lifer is. Here's who the Republican is. Here's who the Trump supporter is. And they're going to try to frame what they think will best, say, move independent voters into the Democratic camp. So unless we have free speech platforms like Getter, unless we can go and allow people an unfiltered way to go and communicate and talk about all the issues that are going on, what's really happening, what people's attitudes and opinions really are, then the media is going to put their foot on the scale just in the same way that they shut down debate over the Hunter Biden laptop in 2020. They're going to go and try to suppress what the real debate is happening in the U.S. heading into the midterms.
I got to ask you one last bonus question. That is, we've heard people saying now that if Elon Musk doesn't do X, Y, or Z, they will use it as a justification to take him off maybe the App Store. We saw this happen with Parler. You guys, I'm sure, have had those threats towards you. How worried are you that the left will still be able to silence, whether it's Parler or Getter or Twitter, through regulation or their BS private sector rules to shut down people from even being able to download your app? Because if you can't download the app, you know it basically kills your business.
So far, we have not had any of those issues. It's always something that that I'm concerned about in the back of my mind, and we think through, and that's why I think we have a responsible moderation policy where we do make sure there's no illegal activity or no terrorist threats or suggestions of self-harm, things of that nature. So we do take moderation very seriously. We have not had any of that pop up yet, but it's you never know when one big tech oligarch might wake up on the wrong side of the bed and say, okay, let's go and change the rules. Let's go and change the game. I think in particular where a lot of the interest is going to be is how does Musk start to try to flex his influence with regard to Twitter before he actually takes it over? One of the key things, Ben, to keep in mind, even if this moves at light speed, just because of the whole dynamic of taking over the company, taking a private, it's going to take between 6, maybe 9 months for him to truly get control of this thing, even longer than to start implementing changes. That's where I think a lot of the debate's going to be.
It's going to be very interesting. Jason, I appreciate your time. Grab the Getter app. It's a social media app that I use where there's actual real free speech. You can follow me, Ben Ferguson Podcast, on there.
Now, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
The podcast
juicy.
Would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There were some conservatives that decided, I'm not playing on this Twitter platform anymore. And some of those conservatives, like Tucker Carlson, for example, and a good friend of mine, Mark Levin, said, we have a big enough platform, thank goodness, that we don't have to play on your platform to reach our audience. And they decided to boycott Twitter because of what they were doing to people that were much smaller than them, right? What they were doing to smaller concerns that were trying to grow and reach more people. And they're now back on the platform. And the reason why they're back on the platform is very, 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 very clear, right? The reason why they're on the platform now is because they're like, okay, it's a free speech platform. It's now fair again for both sides to be able to give their viewpoints. The game is no longer rigged. Why do you think the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, is freaking out about Elon Musk taking over Twitter? Why do you think that so many Democrats are now saying that they want to rein in, as they put it, big tech? It's because now they don't control these people anymore. They don't get to control the content. They don't get to bury the Hunter Biden laptop story anymore. They don't get to send emails to people that work at Twitter saying, silence this candidate, silence this Republican, silence this talk shows, which they've been doing. And I hope that Elon Musk will expose all of that. But listen to the White House when asked about Elon Musk and Twitter takeover.
Just a quick one on the breaking news, Twitter agreeing to let Elon Musk go through this purchase. Do you have a response to that? And does the White House have any concern that this new agreement might have President Trump back on the platform?
Well, I'm not going to comment on a specific.
By the way, I love this. Like, and does the White House have any concern about possibly letting Donald Trump back on the platform? Why would the White House have concern about a former president being on the platform unless they want to silence conservatives? You get my point, right? This should be none of their concern. The president of the United States of America, former president, should be able to be on all social media platforms. He shouldn't be banned from any of them. I'll go back and quote Elon Musk's very first statement, very first line. Quote, free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy. And Twitter is a digital town hall square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated. So the White House, if they truly believed in free speech, which they don't, would have said, we love Donald Trump coming back on. We disagree with him, but we think that we are the greatest country in the world, and we believe that freedom of speech is important, and we believe that freedom of speech is vital to this country and the exchange of ideas. Like, if you believe in freedom and democracy, that's what the White House is supposed to believe in, no matter who's the president. Clearly, that's changed in this country. That's what you would say. But listen to Jen Psaki.
Transaction. What I can tell you as a general matter, no matter who owns or runs Twitter, the president has long been concerned about the power of large social media platforms, the power they have over our everyday lives, has long argued that tech platforms must be held accountable for the harms they cause. He has been a strong supporter of fundamental reforms to achieve that goal, including reforms to Section 230, enacting antitrust reforms, requiring more transparency, and more. And he's encouraged that there's bipartisan interest in Congress.
Whoa! So let's get this straight. As soon as the rigged game stops working in your favor, now Democrats are coming out in the White House saying, we need to rein in big tech. When big tech was blocking everyone, right? When big tech was silencing everyone that was your political opponent, when you could send an email to get people silenced, you had no problem with it. But now, because you don't control Twitter anymore, and Twitter very well may expose how corrupt the Democratic Party is, the White House is, other Democrats who are clearly trying to hurt people's lives, destroy people's lives, destroy their life's work, shut them up and silence them at all costs. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, yep, we probably need to rein in big tech. That was a quick 180, wasn't it, for this White House? I mean, even for this White House, that was a quick 180. This White House is terrified of what's going to happen now that the game is not rigged. Look at the last election. And there's new breaking news also on Google. And we're going to talk about that in a moment, because now Google's in trouble because there's a new study that's come out showing that Republican candidate and GOP and conservative fundraising emails are going to your spam account on Gmail, and they're sending them to spam over 80% of the time. Whereas with Democrats who are trying to raise money for their campaigns, candidates, and causes, it goes to a spam account about 8% of the time. If you got a Gmail account, you might want to pay attention and stop using them, because they are purposely making sure that there are certain emails that are conservative in nature that you never see that go to your spam account. They block them and mark them as spam, and that could be costing conservative candidates an insane amount of money. When I say, by the way, an insane amount of money, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars and fundraising that may have disappeared because the emails disappeared because of Google. Now, I'm curious, is the White House press secretary going to, quote, rein that in, right? Is the White House press secretary going to really look at that and go, yep, we need to rein that in? Of course not. She's not going to rein that in. Why would you? There's no reason to rein that in. If you rein that in, all that would do is hurt you, because the game is rigged. It's rigged against you, which brings me to Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson last night, and this was hysterical, he said, we have insider video of what's happening right now at the Twitter headquarters. And then he showed a video with music, sad music, of all the people at the Clinton campaign headquarters on November the 8th, 2016, when they realized that Hillary Clinton was losing the presidency to Donald Trump, crying, looking in dismay, hugging and crying and boo-hooing. And then he came back on the screen. He's like, oh, whoops, our bad, wrong video. And his point was, this is, if you are at Twitter losing your mind, which we're seeing that they are, the people that work there are losing their minds, and they're so afraid, by the way, Twitter is so afraid that people within the company are going to go rogue, that they've now had to set up protections to make sure that people don't go rogue inside of Twitter. Twitter has now locked their source code to stop their own employees from unauthorized changes because Elon Musk bought the company. Literally just hours after the $44 billion bid from Tesla CEO Musk was accepted by the Twitter shareholders, the social media company was forced to lock changes to its source code to prevent enraged leftists inside of their own company from making regulatory unauthorized changes to the platform. According to Bloomberg, which cited unnamed sources, multiple sources, the step was taken to ensure that disgruntled employees did not take their wrath out on the social media platform. Quote, Twitter imposed the temporary ban to keep employees who may be miffed about the deal from going rogue, according to some of the top people in Twitter that leaked this. Many of the company's employees have been agitated about the idea of Musk taking charge and what changes may come. Twitter will not allow updates to the platform unless they are business critical. Any such changes will have to be approved by the vice president of the company. The company is now a private entity, totally under the control of Musk. There is reportedly no longer a board of directors. So Twitter's source code is locked down to make it harder for employees to make unauthorized changes to the platform because there's so many liberal whack jobs working there, they couldn't take the risk. Literally, they say Twitter employees are having actual breakdowns. So let's go to Tucker Carlson. He comes out of that video saying, oh, just kidding. Wait, that was the Clinton campaign headquarters in 2016. Where everybody was crying, not the Twitter headquarters. He's obviously saying that one and the same, right? And then he has this to say about Twitter.
Sorry, wrong tape. But the very same idea. What you just saw was the collective grief of people who thought they were going to be fully in charge, who totally believed they'd be able to rule without limit. You're watching those people learn that actually other people get to talk too. And that realization is crushing to them. It's the one thing they fear. And that tells you everything about why those people should never be near power. People who want a monopoly on speech and thought hate Elon Musk. Not because he's a racist. He's not. But because they can't control him. They hate him because he persists in saying things like this.
Why make that offer?
Oh, so, well, I think it's very important for there to be an inclusive arena for free speech. My strong intuitive sense is that having a public platform that is maximally trusted and broadly inclusive is extremely important to the future of civilization.
But you've described yourself.
I don't care about the economics at all.
So free speech is extremely important to civilization. Are you triggered by that? It's often hard to know who's on what side. So much lying. Who are the good guys and who are the bad guys? Well, here's a very clear, simple, and unerring test. Who are the tyrants? They're anyone who is bothered by the idea that other people might get to talk. That is an unfailing test. It's 100% accurate. Would you allow people who disagree with you to talk? If you wouldn't, you were a tyrant. And tonight, the tyrants are grieving. In Congress, Democrats made a last-ditch bid to use their power to intimidate Elon Musk into backing off. Congresswoman Catherine Clark of Connecticut wrote this, quote, "If they can afford to buy Twitter, they can afford to pay their fair share in taxes. Retweet if you're ready to support Joe Biden's billionaire minimum income tax, exclamation point." What's funny, didn't National Review write a bunch of pieces the other day saying it was wrong for Ron DeSantis to use his power in Florida to punish a company? I wonder if there's apps upset about this. All of a sudden, Democrats are calling for any kind of higher taxes on the big companies that fund their campaigns. Why? Because here's one that may not fund their campaigns. Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman wrote this, "If you can buy a major social media platform, you can pay your fair share in taxes. Tax the rich."
Now notice, this is all now about, okay, how do we hurt Elon Musk? How do we make Elon Musk pay? How do we turn this venture into a failure for him so that he realizes that he is the worst person in the world? That's what they're describing right here.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of
bit.
Us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from my, this idea of what, is that my baggage? It look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You got to understand something about this idea that we should punish Elon Musk for buying Twitter. Elon Musk said in one of his interviews before he bought Twitter, this isn't about making money off Twitter. This is about protecting free speech. Do I think that Elon Musk can make money off Twitter? Yes, I do. I absolutely do. But he's not worried about it because he's more worried about free speech. That's what seems to matter to him. You know, Maggie Haberman, trying to Jedi mind trick you on CNN, actually said that Twitter did Trump a favor by banning him and actually hurt the Democrats, she says. So they're saying, fine, bring him back. Like they're trying to act like this ban of Donald Trump was somehow a bad thing for Democrats and they did Trump a favor. It was a good thing for Twitter. Limiting free speech is actually good for the Republicans. That's what they want you to believe now.
Maggie, I want to ask you about Twitter, if we can. Elon Musk buying Twitter for the low, low price of $44 billion. What does this mean for the former president, Donald Trump, who's put a lot of money into this whole new social media platform? Will he go back to Twitter?
So a couple of things. I don't actually know how much money has put into that other social media platform. I think somebody has put some money into it, and it is very problem-plagued, and we have all written about this. So problem-plagued that he has barely touched it. I think he's posted on it once. He said yesterday that, or his people put out yesterday, that he's not going to go back on Twitter, even with Elon Musk buying it. Let's see whether that holds true in a couple of months. I think it's very hard for him. He has to say that because otherwise it craters that deal, from what the social media deal of his own, from which he stands to make money. That thing's not going well. I tend to assume what he wants is to be back on Twitter. But look, I think that when you look at it politically, Republicans and Democrats will both tell you that Twitter did Donald Trump a favor and actually hurt Democrats by taking him off Twitter.
I love this, right? Like, this is the Jedi mind trick crap that Democrats do, and they think, and I guess on CNN, they actually believe that their audience is stupid. Like, they did him a favor. So all you Republicans that have been shadow banned and banned, you actually owe us a big thank you, because we're the ones that have saved you from yourselves by banning you. So you're welcome, right? You're welcome. This is now their new response. Well, we did you a favor, and now you're going to have to go sit in your own cesspool, and you're going to ruin your lives because we were actually protecting you no longer. And then other Democrats are like, well, we're out. Which brings me back to Tucker Carlson's point. Same point I've been saying for months. They're angry because they've lost control. Yeah, they definitely want to hurt Elon Musk now, and he's now public enemy number one, and they're going to want to rein him in. They're going to want to rein in big tech, and not really big tech. They don't want to rein in Google for putting all Republican emails into spam, right, while all the Democrats make it into your inbox. No, that they don't want to rein them in. They don't want to rein in Facebook for doing exactly what Twitter has been doing to conservatives as well. No, they just now want to rein in Twitter because Twitter is actually going to let everyone play fairly on their platform. And that is why they are losing their minds.
Haven't heard that from the left in a while. Why are they so mad? Because their monopoly on speech and information, the ability to control what you believe, has been broken. So once again, they're resorting to force to get you to shut up. This is not an attack on Elon Musk. They're not going to tax him into poverty. He's the world's richest man. This is an attack on you and your right to speak freely, to express your conscience in public. But for once, it's not working. And the media are infuriated. They're profoundly threatened by a free internet. And so they're panicked. Watch.
Elon Musk is the new power at the social media giant. And he is foaming the runways for the return of the trolls.
This is happening in the background of Elon Musk saying, basically, I want to buy Twitter so I can open it up and turn it into Gab and let Donald Trump back. So there are real consequences to allowing anybody to run these internet sites and say whatever it is they want.
And Elon Musk is the fox coming into the hen house. And it is shameful that Twitter, which has a fiduciary obligation, I would think, to protect people who actually use it, the millions of people who actually use it. Did they ask a single woman? A single woman? Was a single woman consulted And this is it. Was a single person of color who just uses Twitter, who made the mistake of using Twitter and needs it for their job.
But by the way, I love this. I love the crazies there. I really do. I love this last part. They have a fiduciary duty to protect the people that use their platform. They didn't talk to any women of color. So now Twitter is racist overnight. Does that mean that Twitter's board is racist, the board that allowed for the sale? And remember, the fiduciary duty isn't to the users. The fiduciary duty is to the investors, you dumb idiot. Right? Did they discuss it with a single person of color? No, they did not. So the same Twitter board that you loved, you now hate because they did what they were legally obligated to do, which was to act in the best interest of the shareholders. Again, get your head around that, folks. Get your head around this. That's why they're losing their minds. Because they cannot control Twitter anymore. This is only about control. And why are they afraid? Go back to Elon Musk's original statement. Quote, free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy, and Twitter is a digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated. They don't like that the game is no longer rigged against them. They don't like that the next time a shady issue comes out, right? A shady, shady, shady issue comes out. They don't like that they can't control those issues and they can't block those articles and they can't silence those stories. They don't like the fact that now they can't block Donald Trump and other conservatives from their platform. They can't stand it, folks. They hate it. They are angry. They have been angry for a long time. And now what they're going to do is they're going to go back to the drawing board and go, okay, let's rein in Twitter. Not big tech, just Twitter. They're not going to rein in. And again, this big story, and we're going to keep covering it for you, is going to be the story about Google and what we have found out about Google. You look at what's happened with Google right now and what Google has been busted with. No one wants to talk about it, but Google has been busted now. Deciding what gets into your inbox and what doesn't. You know, there's a big article that came out today. And if Twitter was still controlled by these scumbags on the left, I bet you this is the next story they would have banned. There's a new story out today that said Joe Biden is missing millions. Financial records now reveal that Biden had 5.2 million in unexplained income as emails show he paid Hunter's legal bills for one megabucks Chinese deal and was tapped as the big guy to get 10% cut in another. Emails from Hunter's laptop are now revealing that Joe Biden agreed to pay his son's legal fees for his deal with a Chinese government-controlled company. Why? Joe was able to pay the bills after earning millions of dollars through his and his wife's companies after he left office as vice president. But a new analysis has come out of the president's financial records show that $5.2 million in income is actually unexplained. The missing millions and emails on Hunter's abandoned laptop actually suggest that Joe would have a 10% share in Hunter's blockbuster deal with the Chinese. The revelation ties the president even closer to Hunter Biden's overseas business dealings, despite the White House continuing to claim that they never talked about business. Joe Biden agreed to pay his son's legal fees. Why? Why would he pay those legal fees with a deal with a Chinese government-controlled company? I have a feeling it's because he didn't even think he was going to run for president then. I think he thought his career's over. He had left office. Trump was the president. He wasn't going to run. And so he said, screw it. I'm in bed with my son and all this shadiness. Sure, I'll pay the legal fees. Why? Because he's making me millions of dollars. I got $5+ million in unexplained money coming in. These are the types of articles, by the way, that Twitter bans. And if they don't outright ban them, they shadow ban them. It is obvious that Twitter had a hit list. And once you were on that list, you were never off that list. Once I got on that list, my entire Twitter reach disappeared. It literally was non-existent. The reach that I had was gone, folks, gone. They designed it that way. They don't want people like me or others to be influential. The reach of people like Mark Levin and Tucker Carlson, they saw their reach disappear as well. And when they saw their reach disappear, they were big enough they could say, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to use your platform. Now they're back because free speech is back. And don't think for a moment that the Democrats in Congress aren't going to try to settle this bet with Elon Musk. They are going to try to destroy Elon Musk. They are going to try to regulate Elon Musk. They're going to do it under the disguise of transparency and oversight of big tech. It's not about oversight of big tech. They are going to have a different set of rules for Elon Musk than they do for everybody else in big tech. They love Mark Zuckerberg because Zuckerberg gave millions and millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to influence the last election. They're not going to rein him in. Just the people they don't like. And the person they hate right now is a guy by the name of Elon Musk. And that's another reason why you should stand behind him and celebrate this. I will be using Twitter. As long as Elon Musk stays true to his promise of a free speech platform, I will use it every day. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Share our podcast with your family and friends as well. Share this link on social media. Help us grow. And please write us a 5-star review. It helps us on the podcast chart so more people find the show. And I'll say thank you in advance to all of you that have written a review. And if you haven't, if you'd please help us, we'd appreciate it. We'll see you back here tomorrow. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? Well, you could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run big appliances like your fridge even longer. And best of all, the new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans already trust Patriot Power Generators. So go to 4 patriots.com/Ben to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. So right now, go to 4patriots.com/Ben. That's the number 4patriots.com/Ben.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.